Right now it's time for the hardest man to get a hold of in the United States of America.
Except for the NSA.
Except for the NSA. And that is Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Well,
that's only because I'm circling the earth.
Yeah, I was going to say, you screened my call so I can't get... I'm not speaking to that guy. I'm going to send him directly to the answering machine. I mean, I have a lot of people that do that about me, but I didn't expect it from you, Jim.
No, it was not me. I was feebly attempting to dial the correct number, and... I was informed by your cohort of the correct number. Thank God for cohorts.
That's right, for cohorts. But well, anyway,
this cohort's been on duty since about 4:50, trying to resolve things. So I may be a little bit crispy, and I haven't done the best job. So.
Okay. So the thing is, you got up. You got up a little later. I think normally you're up around 3:30.
No, that's the big guy.
No, that's me. I get up at a quarter after 3:30.
Right. What do you do then? Milk the cows? Or?
Well, basically, yeah. Some mornings I get a shower right away. Other mornings, all of a sudden, I open my eyes again, and it's a quarter to four.
And the cows remain unmilked.
God, how the time doesn't go.
That's right. Well, anyway, let us move forward with the show this day.
Cover your assets. So I have a couple of things that I have been pelting Jim. I don't know how to say this politely, and I do want it to turn out right, but I have been pelting Mr. Lynch with it's like the paper of record, the local newspaper, the New York Times, local for some, has decided to become like mommy and daddy for the millennials. And they've got all of these, like, really interesting, I use that word advisedly, programs that will help you with such and such. And so I don't know why I got an email that said, oh, let's do your finances. So I answered, they sent it, and I answered the questions kind of the way that a younger person might answer the questions. And they have been sending me every day a program for managing my...
What the hell did you answer the questions for?
Because I wanted to see what... Because my theory...
So now, Jim, she's going to be mad and angry because she gets these emails from the Times.
No.
I know her type. I know her type.
Can't you just not accept them and say that don't do this anymore?
I wanted to see what they were offering as financial advice for kids. That's what I wanted to see.
Take money from your parents.
Yeah.
Well, Jill, in terms of them sending this to you, did you get some benefit from it? You sent me several of them. Sadly,
no. I put myself in the position that I have been very lucky in my life to have, and you know some of them, some people who are real good at what they do and have very clear, non-distorted, when I say clear, I mean non-distorted, just views of, they know how things work, and therefore they know how things should be. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean they're right or wrong, but it's like the little basic stuff, like this is north, this is south, this is west, like those fundamentals. I've been really lucky. And so all I was looking for was to see if there was something like that in there. I see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And... Mm-hmm. I think that it's really hard when you are trying to do something as important as help people with their finances to not have the building blocks. And that's why I was sending it to you. And that's my issue. How do we get the building blocks?
Well, the thing is, in looking at it, they're very simplistic kind of things, as far as I read, that we've covered on the show in terms of, you know, the practical application of basically managing your finances, your money. One thought that did come up, and it's a very simplistic thought, must have been in the first one you sent me, is the fact that this idea of awareness of what your finances are about. In other words, taking a moment, more than a moment, 10, 15 minutes a day, we'll say, or at least every other day, just to focus on where you are financially and then using that to create a plan whereby if, for instance, you're in the hole on your credit card, well, that's a challenge, and you've got to figure out how, as quickly as possible, to get that together so that you're not paying interest. I do think that things were pretty simple, but I do think the key is awareness of what you're doing with your life in terms of how you're spending your money. And the term tracking, T-R-A-C-K-I-N-G, comes to mind. Tracking your finances rather than answering questions and so forth might be the way to go. So try it out for 2 weeks to 30 days of just tracking everything you spend, even the incidentals. And I select a 2 week to 30-day time frame because it does get tedious if you're tracking every last thing. But I think in 2 weeks you'll find that there are X amount of things that might be redundant. They might be a waste of time because frequently we buy things and on impulse and then get home and find out 3 weeks later we haven't used whatever we bought. That said, what is the, so people have the information, Jill, the email over there or the web for this information at the Times?
They can just look up, there's a program that helps them with with their finances. It will have been sent to them if they're subscribers. The main thing though is once you start following their steps, you will, I mean, not everybody, but certainly some people, because of the way that it's written, will find themselves so far in their, you know, emotional weeds that they won't do the basic, you know, if I came to you for 5 minutes and I said, not Jim, if I said to you, Dad, you know, what do? You'd say,
okay,
pull out your this, look at that, and call me when you've done that. And
right,
this...
that's correct. And so what I would say is exactly what I said a few seconds ago, minutes ago. Track your expenses.
Yeah.
And then your plan is to cut your expenses back because they're wasteful. Two, plan to save. If it's 1%, if it's a half of 1%, if it's 3%, start saving, putting it aside. A plan, for instance, for the kids' education. Again, create a pot to put that money in. If you do it this way, it can be very, very simple. It's a matter of getting into the discipline of this approach that I'm mentioning, the approach the Times is mentioning. The whole key is you want to do it. Set your intention to do something, to save money, and then detail those things that you need to get into the saving of money. I'm sorry I was late today. It's that snow, Marshall, that gets in my eyes. Anyhow, let's quickly get to a few important things in the financial area. The 10-year U.S. government bond, which is a bellwether, meaning everybody looks at it to get a sense of the direction and long interest rates. It made a new low in price, a high in yield of a 270. It's not been that high since 4 years ago. You might recall on the show, I've been telling people to keep their bond financing short, like in 2 years, 3 years. I maintain that position. I think the bond is going to break down. You're probably looking at around a 3% in 10-year. Why is this key? Well, it's key because mortgage rates, lots of rates, are set against this 10-year. But as importantly, and maybe more importantly on a current basis, is the stock market, which I believed and still believe has been overvalued. It's up 60% in a very short period of time. You can't expect those kind of results this year. It's just not within the realm of reality. So as the 10-year, and this is something, again, if you want to follow the market, here's a very easy way to follow it. Keep your eye on the 10-year. If it does start sloping to the 3% yield level, you might realize that now the stock market is beginning to get a little shy, and it might start coming off. It might come off quite a bit, actually. There's something going on in the stock market, which I can't prove it. The only way I could prove it is if I got into the balance sheet, the real balance sheet of the Fed Reserve of the USA. The Fed Reserve has the power as of 1988 to basically buy stocks. You heard me right. They have the power to buy stocks when and if needed. This was created in 1988 because in 1987 we had a calamitous drop in the market. So this was put forward as a way to help out.
It is called something, too. It's worth interrupting to say that it's called the Plunge Protection Team, PPT.
Plunge Protection Team is right. You're right on the money. Plunge Protection Team. It's made up of a small committee headed by the treasurer of our country, and it's a very secretive type of operation. It's very difficult to get anything on it. They don't really do anything in public. But if they have been operating in the last several months, and there's rumor about that they have been, this could be very injurious to your financial health if you don't start taking some profits. And certainly I would not buy anything because the market's up so much. So many people have already bought. Why does it keep going up? The economy is not sizzling by any means. And so I caution you, take money off the table. Now, another reason to take money off the table is because we get very distracted or disgusted, depending on your frame of mind, on some of the comments that our president makes. But one thing that you got to focus on here, folks, is not these personal assaults he makes on people, but in terms of your finances, we are slipping in terms of the world's economy. We are slipping because we're not going forward, and we're slipping because we're beating up on our allies. In the press here today, in the last couple of days, the president is threatening some kind of a conflict with the European Union because of the deficit we have with them. This president, folks, really doesn't know anything. He talks a very good game, but he doesn't understand the fundamentals of economies, of a world economy. It's not something that's perfect. There are surpluses, there are deficits in the finances of various nations versus those of other nations. That's in the normal course of trade, the normal course of some countries becoming more competitive. It's not a crime. These countries are not doing things to hurt us. They're doing things to try and prosper and actually help us. Along those lines, China, which we just put, rather the president just put some tariffs on, and of all things, putting it on those things that help in the area of solar, raising prices anywhere from 20% to 50%. The Chinese are foremost in manufacturing these products, and because they got out in front, as opposed to the U.S. listening to Lynch 5 years ago under the Obama administration, they've made it an industry, and they're doing very, very well on it. So based on the tariffs that are being put on by our country, the first reports are 88,000 people will lose their jobs in this country. Why? Because those are the people who install these things and probably will be cut back to make up for the additional cost for the equipment. Now that's shooting yourself in the foot. This thing we're thinking of doing with Europe is shooting ourselves in the foot. To give you an idea that the countries are not standing still for us, Trudeau, the head of the Canadian government, he has just entered into an agreement with 10 Asian nations, not China, to basically do a trade agreement with them. Now, this is extremely important because our government has been beating the drums that they're going to change NAFTA, so it's fairer and all that stuff. Fine. I don't see us hurting here in this country. I see people being well-fed. I see there's a fair amount of employment. There's no crises. But what this Trudeau is doing is he's setting it up. So if the U.S. gets tough with him on NAFTA, he can in turn be tough and have this plan that he's entered into to use as his tool. And bottom line, if he wishes, he can get out of NAFTA. There's something that, you know, is missed in the day in and day out of things. Many months ago, the U.S. was all over the Canadian lumber industry because they were importing too much lumber into this country, and somebody didn't like it and this and that. Well, the bottom line is the kind of lumber that comes into this country from Canada, for the most part, is used in building houses. It's the kind of lumber that works well in the way we build our houses. So, again, ignorance is not bliss in this case, but ignorance of economic reality could be very harmful. The president is in his second year. I presume he'll be in his third and fourth year. He is basically dragging us down trade-wise. He certainly is dragging us down on a political basis. We will no longer be the leader of the free world in a few years. So therefore, stocks are extremely, extremely overvalued. And I'd part company with X amount of the portfolios, getting rid of the losers first and offsetting them with gains in those that are profitable.
And this is two side things. First, this healthcare company that Amazon, J.P. Morgan.
We only have two minutes.
Twenty-five minutes ago, it was announced. J.P. Morgan, Amazon, and Berkshire Hathaway, the Buffett company, they're forming an allegiance to create healthcare for their employees, which number many, many people. The key approach is going to be one in technology. Basically, these companies are saying healthcare has gotten too expensive for their employees, meaning that for them, for what they pony up, it's too expensive. They are not, as they've so advertised, going to be mainly profit-oriented. They're going to be oriented to the health of their employees. And I was discussing this the other day with somebody. The hospitals now have created profit centers within the hospitals. So if you go into a hospital, it's technical. The bottom line is this is a very bullish thing for the health of this country. And I would think more and more corporations will get involved. As we know, Amazon has got a lot of cash. Apple, who's not part of this consortium, has got plenty of cash. And so hopefully we're going to have better and less costly health care. One last thing, Afghanistan, lots of people getting killed there. This is a direct relationship, in my humble opinion, to the president taking $1 billion in aid away from Pakistan, saying they weren't doing enough in confining the Taliban. Well, guess what? I believe the Pakis are saying, okay, take the money. We'll let the Taliban run a little free. It's too coincidental. Within a month, hundreds of people have been slaughtered by the Taliban. It's a big world, but it's a world that if you're not playing properly, you're going to get hurt or somebody's going to get hurt. Anyhow, beautiful little snow out there. Enjoy it. Enjoy your week. Take care of your kids. Do a little tracking of your expenses. Keep smiling. We'll get over all of the stuff coming from D.C. They're only people, and they're not going to be with us forever. We can vote them out.
Now, I just want to know, did you get your ticket to the State of the Union? I'll see you later.
You're too much. Okay. You're too much.
All right. Take care, Jim.
I'm on tiptoe now.
All right.
You later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. You can find Jim, of course, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand and cover your assets.